Hey, hey, what is up, everybody? This is Corey Vincent with a new episode of the video game Bang. We are well into November, and we have a fantastic show with a special guest interview. We have two people here. They are directors from a new Kickstarter video game music documentary called The Player's Score. We have Keaton Slansky and Corey Caldwell, and they're going to tell us all about this exciting new project. But first, we're going to talk to Jada, who returns to the program all the way from Anaheim. She was at GameStopCon, and we're going to talk about all the exciting sights and sounds from the GameStop Managers Conference. Other than that, we want to remind you, go to NerdReactor.com to get all of the nerdy news that you've been craving. Who's going to play Doctor Strange? All that kind of crazy stuff. Plot details from the Star Wars movies. All that stuff is going to be there. And if you got some time, check us out on Twitter, at Video Game Bang. Talk to us. We like to talk back to the peoples. And last but not least, if you're listening to this on an iDevice, go to the iTunes store and subscribe to the show. It really means a lot. It really helps out the program. If you have an Android, subscribe to us on Stitcher. We have so much to talk about on this week's Video Game Bang.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. If the issue gets real. I don't get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He could play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Check, check, check. What's up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here with the Video Game Bang, and we are back dominating your ear holes.
Built for MLS.
Oh, God. Yes. Let's start the show off right, and if we were classes from the hit game Destiny, he'd be the Titan, Aaron Carter.
I don't even know what that one is.
The Noble Titan. He's the tank.
Is it the warrior?
Yeah, what? Yeah, just a basic warrior.
Yeah.
That's all you are.
Wow.
Just a basic
The other classes, warrior. What? There's only three classes.
There's only three, yeah.
Man, you a basic bitch.
That's retarded. That's... What's up, everybody?
He would probably be the Hunter class, David. Andrew Ng.
I'll take it.
Welcome back. I missed you.
I know. It's been too long, man.
I had to greet him with a big hug when I saw him.
He did. I was very surprised, actually.
Where were you?
I don't like the touch.
Where were you?
Not in the bathroom.
Not
in
the bathroom.
Wow, so how you pee?
By touching other people? No, what?
Let it fly around? Is that what you do?
Where did he touch you?
Wow.
you know, if I learned anything this last couple weeks, it's you got to cherish your friends while they're still here. Because in a blink, can be gone.
Were you in a life-threatening situation?
He's not referring
situation?
To me. Oh,
okay.
No, Kyle Maguire.
Is dead?
Our wonderful... No, he's not dead.
He's plotting to take out David.
Our wonderful composer of the theme song you're listening to right now, he took a job in Portland.
Oh, again.
He moved away from me.
So he is a Timbers fan, then?
No, he's a Sounders fan, because he's originally from Seattle.
Yeah, then he's going to die in Portland.
He's not going to wear his gear. We talked about it.
Yeah, he clearly can. I've asked fans that I've seen.
Can we go one show without talking about soccer?
No, because Sacramento
Please.
Is built
It's a video
for MLS.
Game podcast.
And FIFA is a video game.
And it comes out next week.
She would probably end up being the... What's the other class?
The Warlock.
The Warlock class. The one that I don't care.
The best class.
The one that's weak.
The best.
Jada.
Blow you up
which
with
one,
my mind.
Which one has the knife?
That'd be the Hunter.
They were talking about that's the most OP character.
That's what I was telling Jada when I said, what character are you going
to
pick?
They were like, that one, you just have to spam the crap out of that knife. They actually have a video of somebody just doing that.
You can build that class to be super OP. And then I would, of course, be the faithful ghost, Peter Dinklage.
Okay.
All right. If you,
let's just move on to that.
Yeah.
there's only three classes. There's only three classes.
I will be
game.
The narrator. That's what I'll do.
The unseen
wow.
face.
Jada, coming back, you were in... where were you?
Anaheim. Yep.
Did you go to Disneyland, too?
I did not get to go to Disneyland, sadly. And I'm mad I didn't stay for an extra day and extend my vacation because... Apparently, Halloween Town portion started the day after I left.
Wow.
So mad.
A coworker doing that.
You were there for GameStop Con.
Yeah, so the GameStop Expo.
GameStop Con.
Wow.
The GameStop Expo. GameStop
Game Con. Store.
The Game
Store. Oh, sorry. Damn Game it. Store. We're gonna, every time it's... we say GameStop, we get sued.
We would be in dubious amount of debt.
Oh, my goodness. So much debt. But yeah, so I got to check out the expo a day early before it opens to fans. All the GameStop managers get to go and check it out. So we get early access. I got to meet up with a lot of big people. Nolan North, Adam West, Ed Boon.
Oh, did you send him that message?
I did not. I did not, unfortunately. The line was too long by the time Ed Boon got there. He got there later in the day.
There was a crowd for Ed Boon?
Yeah, for sure.
Why wouldn't there be?
Why would there be?
It's Mortal Kombat, dude.
It's just because you have a feud with him.
You can only hate someone as much as you have the potential to love them. Continue, Jada.
Who said that craziness?
My dad said that as he was beating me as a child.
Wow.
Booker T. Washington was there.
Booker T. Washington? No.
I don't know where Washington came from.
Booker T. Washington.
You know,
Aaron,
history
the
lesson.
The deadest person at the con.
He was in the Assassin's Creed panel.
Was over there.
You mean you're of course referring to
Booker T. the wrestler,
the Spinneroonie.
Yeah, yes, okay. He was there. He was one. Him and Ed Boon were the two I didn't get to actually go up and get an autograph and talk to, just because they didn't show up. They weren't there at the early portion when I got to go in early. So I didn't want to wait in a 2-hour line to talk to them, unfortunately. Sorry, but they're not on that high up on my priority list. But I did get to talk to Nolan North and
Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yes, that guy. Yes, I took a picture with him. I had no idea who he was until you pointed it out.
Oh, terrible.
I don't follow UFC. Sorry. You know, it's just not my thing.
Do you even lift, bro?
I do not anymore. No, okay. I stopped.
So did you get to play any of the games?
Honestly, I didn't play too much while I was there, mainly because there wasn't too much new there that I hadn't already played at E3. So, which is, you know, it's great because, you know, taking those games to another expo gives people who can't go to E3, since it's such a more limited event, gives more people an option to play those, which was really awesome. So I like that. But I did sit and watch a little bit of more of Evolved. I watched a little bit of Assassin's Creed. What else did I check out? Alien Isolation was there. That looked really cool.
And why don't you just make everybody hate you completely and tell them about your epic victory?
So before the expo, GameStop, we, you know, this is a work thing we do. We were paid to go to all the different companies, the different vendors for the respective companies, and they do little 20 to 50 minute training rooms or whatnot, and they tell us about all the new upcoming games. And occasionally they do raffles, they do prizes, they do trivia. And as everybody knows, the GameStop managers got PS4s and Xbox Ones last year. Well, I happened to win the Destiny bundle this year, so I got another PS4.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, so I'm super excited for that because I wanted the white one, but I did not want to spend the money for it.
The white one is always the
best. It's okay, though,
because
now we have a communal PS4 for the video game bang team.
If only my friend didn't have one, and I was already owing
her. See, I didn't even tell Gondo about that part. I tried to bark up that tree.
Yeah,
Gondo
sorry.
Already was like communal
PS4. Yeah.
And then Jada's already got it wished away.
Sorry.
I'm not surprised, though.
She's paying me for it, and she's doing a portrait for me. So I need some artwork for the house, and she's an artist, so I'm getting a little bit of both. Which is awesome.
So things we forgot to leave out. We forgot to mention nerdreactor.com. We forgot to mention Twitter, @VideoGameBang.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the last couple weeks it's been ramping up. People coming out, talking to us, and we appreciate it. Continue. We like this. We interact with everybody who sends us an @. We're always willing to debate, whether, as long as it's, you know, something worth debating. Don't be a dick.
Have you got some dickish stuff?
Not too much.
Okay.
No. The people who listen to this show are good people. I think that's
it's pretty
much
who we attract.
It's pretty much a given, you know. But yeah, continue @VideoGameBang and then Facebook.com/VideoGameBang. And then check out the last episode, which was the Weekend Bang. We got back on track because 2 weeks ago, the Weekend Bang Aaron took it to dark places.
You have to take it dark to see the light.
We brought everybody down just to bring them back up, because last week's episode was an awesome episode, actually. We gave some love to some of the most innovative games coming out, and some of them are out already, right?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of them are in that that Steam type of...
Early access
type of
so
stuff.
We were talking about Ashen, 7 Days to
Ashen's
Die.
Ashen's not out. 7 Days to Die is definitely out. 7 Days to Die is just the one that tries to do everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Throw as much as it can in the game, minus Mario.
And then The Forest. Oh my god, that game like stuck with me. Some of the imagery. Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Of those faceless
those
cannibals.
Coming at you. Yes, yeah.
In that damn cave.
And then how haunted. Feeble you are whenever you build a base and they just rush through it like,
oh
why
god.
Did you spend all that time foraging for wood when we're just going to knock down these trees?
And then it starts with that beautiful screenshot of the bird landing on... They have bird finger mechanics.
Bird finger mechanics?
Yeah, those bird finger mechanics, though.
Wow.
He sticks his finger out and a little bird lands on it.
If there's another game you can name with bird finger mechanics in it, you can keep that label bird finger mechanics.
The Falconer.
Wow. On the DS.
Yeah, on the DS. Oh, man. That was a great show. Go back, listen to it. Let's see. But moving forward, we got some stuff we want to talk about. Video game news, everybody. We have news that we talked about a couple weeks ago, or maybe a week ago. I don't remember. But Microsoft's impending purchase of Mojang. And it ended up happening.
It becomes a reality.
It was real.
But is it worth it?
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either. I mean, they're not going to stop all production on Minecraft for PS4 and the Vita. Those are already slated for coming out. So, I mean, I don't know what impact that's going to have. I don't know if Sony's now going to have to pay royalties or whatnot.
I don't think it'll go. I don't think it'll do all that. They probably already had something set in stone before this whole acquisition or whatever.
Most
so
likely.
Whatever they have on there is what they have on there. Now, Microsoft could probably do some dickish move like, well, with the new DLC for it coming out, Sony, you're probably going to have to, you know, fork over a little, you know, or hey, it's exclusive to the X1.
Yeah. Oh, God, please no.
But I saw somewhere online that were somebody did an article where it was doing the pros and cons between
the purchase.
Yeah, the purchase. And I can't find it now for some freaking reason while I'm trying to look it up.
Well, David, were you aware this was happening?
I'm aware that it was happening. I don't really see any advantage for Microsoft to own it.
No.
Yeah.
$2.5 billion, too? Do you think they were...
I mean,
like...
it's a big name, so if you can slap the Microsoft label on the side of that, on like all the products that they sell, because like you go to Target and like they sell toys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just an opportunity for them to market everywhere, I guess.
They bought a brand, not just a game anymore.
Yes.
But how long is this brand... Like, to me, Minecraft seems, without a Minecraft 2, that is, it seems like the peak has just been, like, that's it. It's hit the peak.
It's plateaued. It's been plateaued for a while.
Because there's other stuff. Look at Landmark, voxel-based game. It's doing everything that Minecraft can do and more. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what are you going to squeeze out of this lemon?
The one thing I thought, and as the deal kind of progresses, I don't think it too much anymore, is that maybe, you know, Mojang execs sat down with Microsoft and showed them a glimpse of the future, and it just blew them away, and they said, we have to buy this for $2 billion. But I don't see what they could have saw.
And now the head guy is gone.
You know, and that's an interesting point, too. Like, anybody who thought Notch was going to stick around through this was... fooling themselves.
No, he made a great game. He made a ton of money. Get out.
He's one of those guys. He's not an entrepreneur. He's not a businessman.
He...
Oh, we'll get back to this. Oh, son of a bitch. Right when Aaron was going to say something prolific, we get interrupted by Kyle Maguire, who I miss dearly. Come back.
You're probably the reason he moved.
You really think
for
so?
Sure.
You're ruining his marriage and everything.
No.
Too much time with Corey.
The Maguires were excellent people.
Kyle was at your birthday, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he was that
was
very tall, strikingly handsome man.
Yeah, there was a lot of tension there. You're the reason he moved away, for sure. I could tell. First time.
Deep blue eyes.
Yep.
Blonde hair.
Wow.
It was laser tag, not laser hugs.
That's why I was like, oh, David is like the one rock who will never, ever leave me. As he says.
We'll see.
So we're going to get on to what you're playing, and let's start with my buddy old pal, David. What you been playing?
Actually, I haven't been playing much.
wow!
I've been watching a bunch of video games on Twitch.
What have you been watching?
I've been watching what you the... Want.
We'll modify the rules just this once.
I've been watching the StarCraft Championships. They've been going through their big tournament. So that's
tournament? Is that new? You never said it like that before.
Oh, it happened.
You picked that up
just,
from...
Just relax.
Okay.
You were in Jersey?
Let it go.
Yeah, you're from Jersey?
No.
To tournaments.
I have not been to the East Coast in many years.
So you've been watching StarCraft. What about...
I actually have an itch to reinstall Black and White on my computer.
Wow, that's an old one.
Hmm? Yeah. Well, good Black and White 2.
Oh, well, but, still yeah. old.
Yeah, he's just like, no, that was 96.
That's like, I have an itch to play Mario again. Like, that's old. I mean, Mario 2. That's about the... Still going there.
Whatever.
Aaron Carter, what you been playing?
New Vegas. Downloaded, of course, onto my Steam platform. And
Where's the streams on that one?
I don't know where the streams are at. You know why?
Twice weekly streams
this is,
that you're supposed to be.
This is one thing. The last DLC I played, which was the Sierra Madre one, that was, to me, the very low point of Fallout New Vegas. I have never felt like I wanted to get rid of this DLC so bad. Like, I hate it so much. And I was just like, I've never, it felt like, it was a step back in the Fallout fun that I've been having so long.
What did that to it?
It just, well, first of all, it was a constant, I'm playing in hardcore mode, so people that played in regular mode, they didn't have to deal with this, but wherever you're at, mm-hmm. there's a thick fog around you, so you're constantly losing health all the time. So
that sucks.
So you're constantly losing health. The enemies that you fight don't die unless you disembowel them. Like you have to cut their arms off or something.
Jesus.
So if you shoot them, they just get right back up. So it made me go straight in melee. It felt like it pushed me towards certain stuff. So I had to go straight in melee just to
cut
off
everything.
Yeah,
but don't you like that in a way? Like certain villains?
When I first played Fallout 3, I just walked the wasteland and organically made this story happen. So that means I didn't feel like I was pushed in certain directions or anything like that. Literally, I walked for a little while after the first little,
But don't you like that vulnerability of a villain that you can't kill the way you want to? You have to do it the way that it has to kill the guy. Like, if you shoot a zombie in the chest, it's still going to keep walking at you. You got to do something more.
Once you get the hang of it, because I had the bloody mess perk. So once I got that, I just blew him up anyway. So it didn't even really matter. And then just the story just wasn't as interesting as, the other ones were of the DLC. So it was kind of like, yeah. And then I even asked Steven, I was like, what did you think about it? And he was like, yeah, it wasn't the best out of the DLCs. So, I mean, I'm on to a new DLC now that seems a lot better than the other one, but it just kind of seems like this DLC that I'm on now, The Lonely Road, is a arsenal pack kind of because I just kill monsters and then get more. So that seems like it's going to be a short one, but it just wanted you like, hey, here's all these new weapons for you to play around with type of deal.
Jada, what you been playing?
So since I'm waiting for my copies of Destiny to come in the mail, I have been playing Diablo Reaper of Souls. Already hit cap level 70. I'm about 25 Paragon levels in. So it allows me to kind of custom tailor your attribute points after you hit the cap of 70. Pretty much done with it. I just have to kill the final boss in the expansion. But fighting him on Torment level 3, which is like 3 notches higher than the hardest difficulty normally, is frankly almost impossible for me solo right now. Because I've been playing all solo. But other than that, Monster Hunter, and I'm about to start Theater Rhythm. Curtain Call for the 3DS.
All right, so if you want to play Diablo and help Jada,
DS4.
Hashtag Jada Diablo.
Sure.
Wow.
I've been playing Destiny. And
of course.
I've never stopped. I started and I have not stopped. I do, it's what I think about when I'm at work. I go to bed at like 3 now. I'm really loving this game.
So Steven's been playing this game too, and I've been speaking to him online. He's like, it's a decent game, he said, but it hasn't wowed him yet, I guess. He's playing the same platform you are.
Here's the thing about Steven. I got to play in a match with Steven and Javier.
Okay.
And Steven's not that good at video games, I'm noticing.
Steven has his flaws in MMOs, yes.
Oh, well, this game is just a straight-up shooter.
Well, no, I'm MMO. Still holding tight to his. He has flaws in MMOs. That's a fact.
Okay.
That
and we'll have him on the show so he can defend himself.
He won't. He'll say the same thing.
He'll
say the same thing. Okay. He has flaws in MMOs. But I was asking him, does it seem like this is maybe the desert and water syndrome with players, where there hasn't been anything that good and they got a little water and it's like, oh, this is the greatest of all time type of deal? Because what's the last big game you played before this?
The last major game. Oh, that, that's
Do you count Titanfall?
I was going to say, if you count Titanfall.
Will we count Titanfall?
I was asking.
You played it, so would you count?
Yeah, I mean, we played it.
Would you count it?
It wasn't the messiah of video games
so
by any means.
So this game has had a lot of hype on it. It is Bungie. They are good developers. They made, you know, the Halo series what it is.
It's hard to say because, like, I don't want to downplay a lot of the great games we've played that have been indies, but as far as, like, AAA,
yeah, like,
you know,
big,
in your face, big games, GTA was probably the last major game that even came close to this.
Last gen. So it's like you've been wandering through the desert of and this drought, finally, and then finally Bungie came with this Dixie cup of water and was like,
here you go, sir. You're like, oh my god, this is the greatest.
Well, a lot of people,
it's so cold,
a lot of people think it's a mirage, you know. A lot of people don't like the game, and there's a lot of negative reviews and stuff going around about
I've seen
it's not reviewing very well.
Yeah, I've seen
like
lukewarm
76-77 on Metacritic,
yeah,
which is really, I think that's probably one of Bungie's worst scored games.
I'm
sadly
glad I'm not reviewing it. I mean, technically right now we're kind of reviewing it, but like in an official Nerd Reactor written down capacity, I haven't had to deal with that yet. So as just a casual player actually being able to sit down and enjoy a video game for the first time in a while, it's amazing.
They need what they need to do to have the most unbiased reviews for video games is just have somebody put them in a vault away from all social media, all internet, TV, anything.
Vault 101.
He comes out, he plays a game, he plays the basics of every single genre of gaming, where it started from.
Okay.
Then
he plays
the game.
Doom.
Yeah, he plays everything from the beginning, so he gets where it all came from. Then he plays the new genre or whatever, he'll give you his dead honest opinion. He'll be like, well, this is how it's evolved the genre. This is where it sucked. This is, you know, and he'll have
poor guy. Dude, that's his life.
That's his whole life.
Are you nominating?
And then
your
he gets put back into the
life.
Vault.
And then you throw him in the vault.
And then you throw him right back in the vault. And he's just there. And he does other things.
What's his name?
He plays sports. I don't know.
Aaron
Vault
Jr.
Boy.
He's Vault Boy. He can't come up with nothing more original.
And then on his deathbed, he finally gets it. Ah, it's a Fallout reference. Yeah. And he just dies.
Why would he know what Fallout is?
Because eventually he'll have to review it, won't he? Okay. But that'll be the last game he reviews.
Oh,
see?
Irony.
See the irony? Yeah, irony. See?
Speaking of filmmaking, later on in the show,
wow.
We're going to have some special guests, Keaton and Corey. And they are from a game, not a game, they are making a documentary. After the break, we're going to talk to them. The documentary is called The Player's Score, and it's about video game music.
Got to ask them why they didn't go with A Player's Score.
Play at school.
Yeah. Instead of Players. I guess stripper version is going to come out where it's Players.
Because score. If they did Players Score, they wouldn't get as much Kickstarter.
And I think
it would attract a different crowd.
And I think,
very different.
I think
crowd.
Dr. Dre probably already has the trademark
on. He probably
on
does,
that.
Yeah. It's a documentary on stripper music and how it affects society.
Yeah, but back to Destiny real quick. Did you guys hear about the raid that they
the
released?
The first group of people that beat the
11 hours to beat this raid.
No, actually, I don't like that. Not for a shooter.
What?
Not for a shooter.
You know, but I think that's a brilliant move because people love things that are difficult and hard to obtain, especially gamers in that genre. In the shooter genre, if you tell a guy, think of the dude from Nerd Reactor, the guy who's like, I used to be a god. The dude who's like that kind of intense about games and being on the top level. If you tell him you can't do this, he's going to get all of his little Nerd Rage buddies, or shooter buddies, and then they're going to go and they're going to do that thing. So if you make an 11-hour badass mission...
I got things to do.
But
you do, but yeah. But this mass group of people who are just hardcore, like, bro shooters...
If there was an overlap type of thing where, oh, I played 5 hours... And then Gondo, he's getting off his
Trade
job
off.
Or something. Yeah. And then you, like, he warps in and be like, all right, you can pick up here, you know, your shift. Good night. And then I'm going to bed. And then I wake up, you know, 4 hours later. And then he's like, oh, man, you know, I only got these 2 hours or 3 hours left to go. you want to join in for them, like, all right, cool. And then I jump back in. He could still leave if he wants. He's like, I'm tired, man, you know. But then he still gets the rewards don't work and like everything. That. See, nah.
Now, to be fair, they didn't have to do it 11 hours consecutive. They just had to do 11 hours consecutively together. So the leader, whoever's leading the raid, can pause it, basically. You know, they could turn it off, and they could all come back to it.
Oh,
see, that's not bad.
Well, then
all.
That's exactly what I was talking about. You instead of overlapping, that's way better than that's just like, yeah, save our progress.
Aaron's like trying to come up with hacks.
I'm thinking you had to go straight.
No,
like,
no, no.
11
no,
hours
no, no.
straight.
You can pause it and you know, do all that kind of stuff. And they died, I think, over 1,000 times collectively as a team. And their average lifespan was 2 minutes or something.
That's stupid.
It's masochistic.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, I would just get fed up with it.
Yeah,
so quick.
I'm not. For well, 2 minutes?
Well, see, the thing is if you know, any MMO, those type of advanced raids or whatnot, they're always that the first group of people that do it or whatnot, it takes forever because you're learning everything as you go. As you progress and you start getting loot from finishing on those longer raids, it shortens the raid. It's not going to take as long. You're not going to have as many deaths. You're going to have longer lifespans or whatnot because you're starting to pick up on the patterns and learn things. It's just like,
yeah, they're carving out the meta for everybody else to go through it quicker.
I wouldn't want to
The console war is making strange bedfellows, I could say that, because now that everybody's on 8 different consoles and systems and you know they all happen to have Destiny, I have to like stick to a smaller subgroup. It's like in Walking Dead when you know they all get split up into smaller groups and you know you don't always get stuck with the person you want.
Yeah, Corey's gonna get bitten,
hence Javier.
Wow.
No, but seriously, like, because of the division of consoles.
Don't say the division. That division is going to be good.
The division is going to be great.
Yes.
But the Halo, the Xbox One, I'm playing with Javier. And, you know, before I had reservations about playing with Javier, but he's actually a quite pleasant fellow. So
if
he's listening to the show.
Something's wrong.
That's called Stockholm Syndrome.
Something's wrong,
guys. That's what that's called.
I've also been playing to, you know, let's level it out. I'm playing with Jake. Awesome
Stockholm
guy.
Syndrome.
He's and Macy. Macy's been playing with Jake and I. We've gotten.
Are you gonna tell me Jake is very funny now?
Jake is.
Wow.
Very,
Jake has always been funny.
Jake is funny, but for the wrong reasons.
When I met him the first time, it was, I don't know if it was your birthday or something, but we went out to get alcohol, and it was just me and Jake in the store because I guess we were the only two
legal or something.
You
were the only two of age.
Hilarious time in that store.
And what happened?
It was just the way he maneuvers around the store and somebody he didn't know at all. Like when he was like, so what drink? Kahlua? Should we get the... I was like, I don't know, dude. I don't drink. And then he's like, well, okay. And then we went out to eat. And the whole, your taste buds are in my hand.
Oh,
my taste buds are in your hand.
He really took a liking to you.
I was like, whoa.
I think you're the first black person he'd seen.
I was like, this guy needs to have cameras following him 24/7.
Everybody has that friend who's just awkwardly hilarious. I got to paint a picture. We were playing Destiny, and then this happened where this light shoots into the sky, and there's like an explosion or whatever. And, you know, I'm taking in the sights and the beautiful graphics. I'm looking up, and my character looks up, and I'm like, wow, do you see that, Jake? That's freaking awesome. And I look down to where he's at. He's standing in the light just doing the dance thing in his own little world.
He's a character. He's a cod.
He's going to be on the show, I think, next month.
Next month?
I think next month we're going to have him.
Schedule him a full month? Wow.
It's going to be Jake month. Kind of like Shark Week. But.
So get ready for a lot of truck talking, everybody, and Confederate flags.
But back to Notch. Let's talk about Notch while we still got a few minutes for the interview.
You mean why he's still alive before he slits his wrists in some type of Swedish hotel or something like that?
Yeah, that was oddly specific. He posted like his, or they posted, leaked his goodbye letter to his team, and he basically hates his success. Or, you know, he I don't know about hates, like he's thankful for it because he realizes it's an opportunity that like no one else can have because Minecraft's a fucking
juggernaut.
But he's like, if I ever make another game that starts getting successful, I'm just gonna walk away from it.
I call those people that haven't had the struggle,
you know.
That's exactly what that is.
Yeah, I mean, some people just don't handle the limelight very well or spotlight very well.
But the spotlight, what spotlight? Okay, I understand you had to go to like probably cons and stuff like that, and people saw you as some type of deity because of the game that you made and stuff like that. But if you can't disconnect yourself from that and realize, oh, I'm just a person that made a whole bunch of money, and then just back away from all that stuff. Like, he said he went and actually read comments and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's
why?
That's actually, I think, fairly common with indie game developers.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the indie game The Movie, and there was some of those developers, they actually, like, if you, like, mention their name in those threads, they will, like, jump in there, and they'll, like, read all about the stuff, and they want to know, like, what the
Aaron's an oddity, though,
because is, like, thinking about their game.
Aaron loves when people talk crap. Like, if they love people talking about you. Like, even when we went through a little phase of bad press, bad juju, and it hurts. Like, because I'll be the man to say it. Like, you know, thinking I'm bulletproof, and, you know, and then, you know, you take some pretty strong words, you start thinking, like, am I doing this for the right reasons?
I'm not saying, like, I'm this hardcore tough guy from the streets or whatever, but in my neighborhood, words really don't... They do so much, you know? So I've heard it all, basically. Heard it all. And up in person, you know, up in my face and everything like that. And I've grown up, you know, with a strong family around me that's, you know, taught me, like, that stuff is not going to, you know, hurt you. So whenever they talk online, I know it's just somebody who's hiding behind a keyboard and they want to just, warrior. You know, say what they want to say. But it's just like, okay, because I'm going to talk crap back to them, you know? But, yeah. You know, as long as we have an understanding at the end of the day, you know, even if it's, I hate you, you hate me, we got an understanding, you know, whatever is whatever. But to sit there and let that personally affect you, bump all that. I ain't going to let somebody else affect how I feel.
That's what I was thinking. We were talking about the girl, the Quinspiracy, Zoe Quinn. Like, she got thrown into the fire. Like, she is a machine at this point. Like, I think there's a breaking point, and we got to actually see it unfold with her. We saw her go from developer who got all this, you know, stuff, who, like, had to back away from the spotlight and handle her shit, and then just came back the Terminator.
You got to be numb.
Yeah.
You got to dull the crap out of that mess. And I don't know if Notch couldn't figure that out with his millions. He got married. He got, you know, he's successful, dude. It's, move on.
Well, we're going to be back. So, we're going to be back after that. We're going to have the interview with the guys from want to say a player's score now.
A player's score.
The gamer's score. Stick around after the break. The player's score.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
And you're listening to the Video Game Bang, which sounds a lot dirtier than it is.
Hello, Super Aaron. Hello, Princess Cory. It's me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia. You guys, number one. Woohoo!
Hey, what's up, dudes? This is Ace from Strife. Hey, head on over to strife.com, grab yourself a beta key for some of our closed testing. And you know what? Tell them Ace sent you. And while you're at it, listen to the Video Game Bang podcast. Peace.
This is Janice Davis, author of Holder's Dominion, and you're listening to Video Game Bang with superstar, incredibly charming hosts.
You know what I can't stand, Aaron, is people that say I'm the type of person way too much.
I saw you posted that on Facebook.
Do you know a lot of people that say I'm the type of person too much?
There's a new lady at my work. By the way, yes, I do know a lot of people, but there's a woman at my work who takes it to the next level. Like, she comes in, she was new, right? And so this guy's walking her around, showing her the lay of the land and stuff. And he'd be like, all right, so first things first, I'm the realist.
Wow.
He says, you know, she's a vendor. So he's like, if I find it cheaper somewhere, I expect you to go somewhere else and find it for me. If you guys don't carry it, I expect you to go find it. Like, he's giving her, like, drill sergeant list. And she goes, no, listen, I'm the type of person who, like, understands a deal. All right. So, like, I grew up with eight brothers. So, like, I'm the type of person who, like, is used to not having much. And so it just got me thinking, like, oh my God. Like,
so you just play, what type of person are you?
Yeah. You know what? That'd probably make her head explode. She's like, I've been waiting my whole life for someone to ask me that.
Takes out this tome. In the beginning,
I was the type of person. I found that the same people that say I'm the type of person are the same people that say, like, I have no regrets.
Like, none? Not one?
I regret nothing because it made me who I am. I'm the type of person who learns from my mistakes.
I would love to be that type of person.
Me too. So numb to the world.
Because I've made plenty. And to say that I've learned from them all would be insane.
That's absolutely true. All right, so we're going to get on to our interview. These guys are from The Player's Score. It's a project on Kickstarter where they are going to traverse the globe, potentially. They're going to be speaking with video game musicians, How do you put that? Video game cover band musicians?
Yeah, you can say just cover.
Yeah, cover the cover bands.
Cover bands. The Megas are one. The Mini Bosses are another one. They're going to have all these people. And then they're going to actually go down deep and talk to composers from the video, from the classics. Your Donkey Kongs, your Mega Mans. But without further ado, two guys who are making a film. The film is called The Player's Score. And it's currently at the Kickstarter level. You guys are halfway to your goal already, which is very amazing. They are Keaton and Corey Caldwell. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So we got to do some research on this project, and it looks extremely interesting. Where was the inspiration? Are you guys big fans of this? Actually, let's start from the basics. Tell everybody what the concept is.
The Player Score is a independent documentary film focusing on the cultural and personal impact of video game music, and we're trying to capture that through kind of checking out and showcasing the heart of all of it, which is the people who are inspired by video game music and the people who make it.
So that being said, do you guys have a personal story? Like, what was your age when you really let this music? Because to me, it's always just been video game music. I mean, yeah, video game music. I never really had a personal connection with it. I mean, you do to like the Sonic theme song or the Mario theme song. Everybody does. But when did it hit you on a deeper level?
I think for both of us, you know, it was really recently in the past a couple of years that we both, you know, kind of got in for different reasons, but it was kind of our mutual acquaintance who was in a video game cover band who kind of clued us into that there's this whole community out there centered around video game music and that it can be more than just, you know, the sounds in the game. And that's really kind of where it spawned off from.
You guys decided to make this film, obviously. And what made you choose Kickstarter the way to go?
You mean as opposed to other crowdfunding options?
Or crowdsourcing in general?
Well, we decided to go with a crowdfunding because we didn't have the money to make the film ourselves. as you can see on our Kickstarter, we have a trailer there. Me and Keaton went down to California and pretty much just shelled out the money out of our own pocket. You know, we didn't have any kind of sponsors or anything. And we pursued the film to the point that we could on our own dollar. And then we knew that as we made this film, it kind of started to grow and started to grow. You know, this started out with, you know, it was just us, and we didn't even know if we were going to be going like all down the coast getting interviews. But then we did. We realized this film was going to grow into something much bigger, and we needed to see if other people would be interested in making a larger project, and we needed to crowdfund the project in order to reach places like the Music and Gaming Festival or Japan. And that's the main reason why we sought out crowdfunding. To make the film as good as it can be, we needed a little financial push.
So you guys were able to pull some awesome resources of people willing to help you with the project. You got Jake Kaufman as your composer, and Aaron Hansen as the narrator. How did you bring them or pitch them on this project? Did you know them before, or did they just really like the concept and want to join?
Go ahead, Keaton.
It was basically the second one of what you said. Like, they both started off as, like, when we went down to California, we only had Jake in mind to even talk to. Aaron wasn't even on our radar at all. But as we got down there, the film kind of expanded, and everyone's, like, roles within it really grew. Like, we thought to hit up Aaron's band Starbomb while we were down there, and we're like, that'd be great to get an interview with them. We were big fans, and so we met up with them and got an awesome interview. And he was really, you know, interested in the project. And so it's the same story with both him and Jake, where I was like, we should just email these guys and see if they want to do this thing. And both of them, you know, responded really enthusiastically after we'd met with them. And they were like, your project seems awesome, and I'd love to do that.
Some of Aaron's works, I've seen him on, like, Eagle Raptor a lot. It's, you know, it's mainly comedy. Is that we're going to kind of get that type of feel from this narration in this film?
Well, I mean, most of his work that he does is comedy, but he also has done a lot of work as a voice actor. And we first interviewed him as a part of the band Starbomb because they were making video game inspired music. But because we knew Igor Raptor had done voice acting work before, I know he's done, I think, like a couple animated films. He's been in some games as characters, so we knew he'd be a good choice as a voice actor, even beyond being absolutely hilarious. So, I mean, we're not certain how many jokes will be there in the film, but we, you know, it's going to be him. But it's definitely going to be a serious film, and it's probably not going to be the regular animated Egoraptor I think people are used to. But the quality's there because he is an extremely talented voice actor.
I've seen a lot of cover bands that you guys like, the Megas and everything. I've heard some of their music. I like that stuff. You think they're a big, important role in your film, too?
Okay, cool. Bands like the Megas and video game cover bands, I think, do play a really important, you know, part in our movie because they're a big kind of draw for the VGM scene to even exist in general. Like, that's how I first found out about it. And, you know, people love hearing rock versions of Metroid or Mega Man songs or what have you. And they're a huge draw and they're a big part of the scene, and I think they're very important in our film, and they're going to be, you know, one of the main bits. I think especially the Megas have been, you know, are a great example of that. They've been really cool and really supportive of us, and like even are part of our like Skype rewards and stuff, and they're really cool guys.
Wow, that's awesome. Looking at the layout of the film, it looks like a majority are cover bands, and then also you have some of the major composers of video game history on there. How are they going to play a role?
Well, their role will definitely be larger if we're able to hit our stretch goal and get to Japan. Right now, we're still trying to get in contact with some of these composers. It is very difficult to get in contact with these composers to get them part of the film, whereas the cover bands, you know, we're kind of able to just, you know, hit them up on Facebook or send them an email, and they're all about it. It's a little bit harder to contact these composers in Japan. They're very busy, and then there is a language barrier there. So, but as the film has kind of grown, we've gotten more composers associated with the project, and their kind of role in the film is to kind of, you know, provide their side of the story, because, you know, we've got this side of the story of the people who've grown up listening to this music. Well, you know, these composers have spent a good portion of their lives working with this music and creating it, and you know, from when they started, it was just a job that they would go and they'd compose music and then it went on in a game somewhere. But now, as the years have gone by, these songs have become, you know, cultural icons. They've become extremely important to a lot of people. And so I think it's important to get their perspective on, you know, did they have any idea that this music would take hold like it did, or that there would be, you know, 10,000 people go to MAGFest just to hear their songs being played live, you know? So they can definitely provide context in that sense. And I'm sure that we do know, because of the composers we've talked to, have, you know, personal stories associated with this music, even from a creator's standpoint.
One thing, we've talked to quite a few composers on our show, and it's always interesting to get their perspective on video game music and how it affects things. And I noticed you guys are really sticking to the old school era, the 8-bit, 16-bit era. Is there any part of the show that's going to focus on like modern composing?
Yeah, we do have some. We do have some modern composers. We just talked to Darren Corr, and you know, that's it's a completely different side of the story. Whereas we've got some of these composers who do compose, who were composing in the 8-bit, 16-bit era with the limited technology. We have people like Jake Kaufman, our composer, who intentionally works in the 8-bit and 16-bit, but he also composes, you know, orchestral pieces more dynamic with new technology. And then we've got composers like Darren Korb, who are completely set in the modern era with modern technology and real instruments. And so we're kind of trying to come at it from all sides and get as big a scope as we can as we go forward. We do have a lot of those classic composers, because I think some of those songs have inspired even more people, because those songs have passed through multiple generations at this point.
With the project, are you coming into this with any prior knowledge of composing for video games? Like, is this what you guys do, or are you guys coming at this strictly as fans?
Keen, you want to take this?
Yeah, we're coming at it as we're obviously fans, and, you know, being people who grew up with video game music. Neither of us really have an extensive history in music production. Like, I play drums and that's it. And we're mainly coming at it as, you know, fans of the genre and filmmakers. we're both filmmakers. Corey's in film school. And we really want to, you know, we're coming at it as people making a documentary, but also very knowledgeable of the subject and being able to, like, bring it personality and context.
So when it comes to the personality, which songs would you guys say had the biggest impact on you guys with wanting to do this? Like, do you guys have a favorite composer or a favorite, video games soundtrack that you guys just really fell in love with?
Yeah, Caden, keep going. You got some good stories with this.
Yeah, that's tough. So the big one for me that I kind of like grew up on initially as a kid was Pokemon and the music surrounding that. And that was always like, I didn't really realize what it was at the time, but I knew it was really cool. And I knew it had to be good music because I was, you know, like the gym leader battle theme. I was, you know, 7 and playing these games and I was bad at them. And I was playing these gym leader battles repeatedly. And so I was like, this has to be a great song or else I'd hate this. And then as I grew up, I remember like the first, you know, when I was like 12 or 13, I played, you know, Halo 1 for the first time. And that's, you know, that's not chiptune. That's not these really old composers. It's the whole new generation. That's Marty O'Donnell. Uh-huh. But he was equally impactful in that for me because that was, you know, that was the game that made I purchased that soundtrack, which I had never done for game music before. And that was like, I think those two games kind of provide a good, you know, juxtaposition and like spectrum of video game music that has had an impact on me.
There was a lot of controversy surrounding Martin O'Donnell and the game studio recently. I think it was Bungie. Mm-hmm. Have you guys been following that? And do you guys have a take?
I mean, we don't have a take personally. We're aware of the situation, but you know, as fans of his music and his work there, you know, it's we were both like, oh man, what happened? And even though we're unaware of what happened, we're hoping that whatever happened gets worked out because he is so talented and mm-hmm. you know, an important part for a lot of people who, you know, grew up playing the Halo games and were excited about Destiny, you know. His name carries a lot of weight there, either emotionally for people who have associated with that music or just quality wise, because he is an extremely important part of that franchise.
Did you guys reach out to him?
We talked about it on the last one. So
yeah, we might as well. Yeah. All right. So yes, we have talked to Marty O'Donnell. We've interviewed him. We haven't announced it like 100% officially yet, which is why you're hesitant. But we did talk about it on our last podcast, which got released today, so we figure it's pretty good. Yes, he will be part of the film. That is a big name that we're kind of trying to, you know, get out there when the time is right to really maximize, like, press for it. He's amazing, though. We love the guy, and I actually got to conduct the interview for that, and I'm usually the one, like, doing the camera stuff, and that was really important for me because, like I talked about earlier, you know, Halo had such an impact on me as a kid for music-wise. He's a great guy, and you guys will be, you know, really excited to see what he has in store to offer the film.
Now that's awesome. That's that is pretty big right there. Now, did you get a chance to touch upon the controversy surrounding the situation, or did you guys tread lightly?
We thought it was best to tread lightly there.
Come on, you guys, you're not going for the shock jock type of video here.
No.
No, we thought we'd leave our Michael Moore outfit at home and just kind of we wanted to give him the maximum respect we could during the interview and kind of keep it just focused on the music, because as much as we are curious, we do have just like a massive amount of respect for him and would not mm-hmm. want to touch on something that he'd be uncomfortable talking about.
Well, that shows some integrity on your guys' behalf. So there's something to be said for that. Yeah, you guys mentioned a podcast. Do you guys do your own podcast?
No, we're just trying to get on as many as we can, trying to get the word out there about the film. Okay. It's been pretty fun so far. Maybe we should start one.
I was going to say, are we just another number to you guys then?
No, wait. It was it's
sounds
kind
like
of
we're at least number kind of, two.
It's kind of weird kind of getting on these podcasts because, you know, we're normally the ones interviewing people. So it's kind of interesting being on the other side. And it's pretty fun. And we're really happy that you guys would even want to speak to us, because to both of us, we haven't really done anything crazy in film. This is our first biggest project, our first kind of dive into making something to this scale. So to have people be interested and want to talk to us about it is just a huge honor. So yeah, thank you guys for having us.
Well, what it is especially on this level of how you guys are doing, and we're doing it too. It's all about following. What's respectable is that you guys are following. You found something you love, and now you're going to learn about it, and you're going to do a video, and so other people can understand it. I mean, that's extremely cool. And I think that's part of the draw to what you guys are doing. And on that note, how are you guys going to do the distribution? Like, when this video is made, is this going to end up on Netflix, or what are you guys going to do with it?
That's the plan. We know we're definitely going to go, the online distribution route with, iTunes and Amazon and Netflix, as best we can to get an extensive coverage. There's the possibility of getting picked up for, traditional distribution. But with documentaries, that's a little harder to come by. But what we want is for the maximum amount of people to be able to see the film as possible. So we're definitely looking to every avenue that we can for distribution. And as we just put out an update recently, we just secured Japanese translation in addition to our Spanish translation, and so that will also help us to be able to get more distribution on Netflix to say other geographic areas. So really trying to get as far a reach as we can, because it is something that we care about and think is cool. And video game music is as wide reaching as video games, so we want our film to reach that wide as well.
Talking to all these people, and one of the questions I like to ask the composers we speak with are, what's wrong with the video game composition industry right now? Is there things that people are doing that they shouldn't be doing? Is there laziness going on? Because just like the games industry, there's things wrong and there's right and there's motifs. Have you been able to pick up on any of those type of things? Is there a consensus on like some negative aspects to game composing?
Keaton, we talked to C41A about the copyright thing. Do you remember what he was talking about? You can take that if you want.
I don't remember specifically what he mentioned, but I know, funnily enough, I just saw him on Twitter talking about how someone had taken his music and put it up on, rehosted it on Spotify under, something that it's not him and it's his music. And so I feel like that's a good example of what he was trying to touch on, is that right now, like, a lot of the licenses, basically there's a lot of licensing issues, and companies like Louder are trying to kind of make it so that these video game cover bands can make money off their stuff, but also make it so that people like C41A are making money off of their original stuff.
It's kind of because video game music, unlike traditional pop music or what have you, the laws on licensing it are very different, and you even have a new kind of company like these game companies. I kind of remember something about what C41A was saying was, the people who hold the rights to the music, and then the game company also has rights to the music. So if someone puts up, say, a Let's Play of the music, the game company can say that's all right, but then the composer can decide whether or not that gets taken down. But if the composer gets a licensing deal with another company, say Spotify, now Spotify can file a complaint and get that video taken down without involving the composer or the game company. So you have kind of all these different parties going back and forth with these licensing issues, because game music is a whole nother monster. And so that kind of creates definitely some headaches for some of these composers that we've talked to.
That is interesting. Wow. So we can digress a little bit here. Do you guys game currently, and what games are you guys hooked on?
Akeen, you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. Lately, weirdly enough, doing this whole documentary, the other day, Corey and I spent about multiple hours playing Mega Man 1.
So difficult.
I just went back and finished 2 like a week ago, so I'm right there with you. I feel the pain.
Yeah. It's rough. Like, we'll like play one level and then be like, this level is terrible, we're never gonna beat it, I'm just gonna switch to, Iceman, and then I'll be like, this level's even harder. What? This is terrible. I hate this. But like, I also love it because it's a really incredibly designed game. But I've been playing a lot of, Mega Man 1, Shovel Knight, just kind of games that we've been hearing a lot about through the film. I got back into Final Fantasy VII the other day. And the last major AAA title I played, because I haven't had that much time to game, unfortunately, with the film, the last major AAA title I beat was Bioshock Infinite. which I was like 2 years late to, but it really, really blew me away.
So other than that, guys, can you tell everybody where can they learn more about your project on social media?
Well, you've got a facebook.com/theplayerscore, on Twitter @theplayerscore. We've also got a Tumblr at theplayerscore.tumblr, and those are kind of where we're going to be feeding our updates out through. But kind of the hub, we have our main website, theplayerscore.com, where people can actually contact us if they want. There's a contact form. They can send us suggestions, comments. You know, we get a lot of people saying that they think the project's cool. So if anyone has anything to say, they can go to our main website at theplayerscore.com and talk to us. And then outside of that, of course, we want people to go check out the Kickstarter, The Player Score, a video game music documentary on Kickstarter. And that's got our basically our whole pitch and reason why we're making the film, and our crowdfunding deal. So,
all right, last minute, people who are on the fence about contributing to this project or not, why should they?
Well, video game music is a area of video games that's probably gotten some of the least coverage. And it's, I think, something that's very important, especially as we get to the modern era, as technology has progressed. It's something that is important to games as a medium and as an art form. And it's something that I know anybody who's played video games can remember the songs. It's got a very personal attachment for a lot of people. And these composers and these video game cover bands should definitely have their stories told. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing that everybody should know about. So we're trying to get the word out as much as we can. And this definitely seems like the year to do it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's something that, well, just to touch on really quick, it's something that hasn't been done yet. Like, there's no comprehensive video game music documentary. Like, we've talked to people who look up all these interviews with all these composers in separate places, you know? And if you want to see interviews with Darren Korb and Manami Matsumae and Marty O'Donnell and, you know, a Mexican video game concert festival, like, all in one. Exactly, all in one, you know, 90-minute documentary on Netflix. Like, why the hell not? That sounds awesome. And if you play video games, you probably want to see it.
Awesome. Well, give them your money, people. You can check them out on Kickstarter. They are halfway to their goal. And, yeah, when you guys get to that goal, you got to come back and give us an update.
We will.
Yeah, we'll do.
All right. Good luck, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
All right. That was fantastic. What do you guys think about that, Aaron? You down?
The worst. No, I want to see how they deal with the cover bands. That's probably the part that I'm most interested in, because I liked cover bands a long time ago for video games, and I liked, like I said in the interview, the Megas. I want to see what, I haven't kept up with any cover bands for video games now as of lately, but there was a time when I liked them.
I'm interested to see how they tell the story. Are they going to start from the roots and then build up into the cover
roots
band?
Are in this?
Yeah, are they going to start with Questlove and the roots and then... I want to see if they're going to start with the actual content and then move up to, like, the cover bands. Are they going to start with the cover bands and be like, but this is where it came from?
Well, they're semi-new to the whole filming thing.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they even get to do, like, the Japan stuff and talk about the origins that they want to.
Yeah, the way they're going to do that, people, is if you care enough to watch this project, go to their Kickstarter and give a couple bucks.
Throw some money at them. Yeah.
Tell them VGB sent you.
They'll get some extra or something like that.
Nope. You get 10% off of your donation.
Wow.
10% off. So you get the donation.
10% more.
Just give them 10%.
The endless
less.
Loop of donating. Saving so much money.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see what the soundtrack for the whole thing turns out to be. That'd be pretty cool for me.
They're very important, because I have been listening probably for this last whole week, the soundtrack to Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's just old, you know, 70s, 80s songs.
Wait, just
the mixtape, I should
songs?
Say, the mixtapes.
Just the mixtape,
yeah.
Okay.
Actually, no, because on Spotify, you can look for certain playlists, so I just typed in Guardians of the Galaxy, and I just hit shuffle, and it was just the actual orchestral, you know.
Yeah,
and
I actually got the CD that came with both, so I have the mixtape, and I have the
soundtrack, just the instrumental stuff, that's still just good. Yeah. I was working.
My favorite
like,
one still is Tron Legacy. That is an amazing soundtrack.
I wonder how I know they're better people than me that are making that film, is because if I would have had Marty O'Donnell from Halo, if I would have had him in a room, you know I'm bringing up that controversy.
I don't even know what the controversy is.
The fact
that I know you got fired.
Not many people do.
You
yeah.
do a
fired,
different
but
what? Show type, though.
Well, it's the fact that the whole controversy is the fact that Bungie let go Martin O'Donnell.
There's a story
the
to be told.
Main composer
there.
For all the Halo music.
Yeah, but why?
It's not clear.
They didn't. There wasn't really.
So then, I don't see a controversy yet. I just see, hey.
Well, they were like, there was some back and forth. There was like,
did he go on Twitter and say, hey, you guys are dicks, Bungie? Don't buy, you know.
Not in so many words, but like, I don't. That's exactly why. I think more people want to know what happened or get his side of it, anyways. And so, like, I don't know. The storyteller in me would have been like, let's go into that. But it's totally off topic from what they're doing. They, you know,
they have a different direction.
So we're going to continue on with the show, because that's what we do. With 15 minutes left, we talked about Notch. Did we get all we had out of the way about Notch?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll pray for the man. That's what that's going to be.
Accept your success, my friend.
Well, he's good. I think he'll definitely have his mind at ease. He doesn't have to worry about the burdens of Minecraft anymore, and... Because to me, in my opinion, I think he stepped away a long time ago when he handed the reins over to the
ponytail
guy. Yeah, like, you knew you weren't into it anymore, so there you go. And if that's what you want to do is sit around and I want to just create a game and then put it out there and not even...
He's earned the right.
Yeah, you got
money.
You're, for the rest of your life and after your death, you're always going to be remembered for that, definitely, en masse, I guess. You know,
you'll
people,
never get from underneath that rock.
Yeah, so the people in your personal life, you can focus on them so they can remember you for that Christmas you got drunk at or something like that.
Do you think that's part of the whole thing is the fact that he'll never get out of that Minecraft shadow? That's all he'll be.
It's
known
the same
for.
Thing with Dave Chappelle. He was like, you can never become unfamous.
Who's that? Oh, is that the guy from the Chappelle Show?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Said you can be famous, you can never become unfamous.
Yeah.
So it's that's how it is.
Microsoft now selling an Xbox One controller and cable for the PC.
So we did a show, or we did a story about Microsoft streaming Xbox One games on the PC. It was a little
precursor,
a little teaser.
Well, the thing is, the Xbox One controller already works.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Like, I use my Xbox One controller.
But more stuff coming out for it is like, hey.
Well, no, it's just a
natural.
We want
to support you guys.
No, as long as you really, and if you're out there and you own an Xbox One, do not go buy this controller. Just take your original Xbox One controller, bring it upstairs or wherever you have your respective computer, and use a...
Why is it that
use
like
the
a...
play in charge kit.
I like assume everybody's house is just like mine, and everybody has the same thing.
So go upstairs right now, everybody. Yes. I live in one story... house. What do I do?
Move your computer to the roof.
Yeah, move your computer to the roof. And all you got to do is use like a little USB cable. Bam.
And that's all it does? Just USB cable?
Plugged it right in. It found the drivers right away.
Yep. That's it all.
Old news, Aaron.
I think they want to support Xbox streaming on
I think they just want to support what they already do.
But what if I want that logo on my cable?
Ooh, see?
Exactly. Boom. Some people buy it for that.
Then you buy the Xbox One Play and Charge kit.
That's exactly how I got the cable. Yeah. You can find that cable just about anywhere.
It's like a basic Android charge cable.
I got a bang bite here that I think shouldn't be overlooked.
Okay.
It says, is Nintendo working on a standalone Pokemon handheld?
I don't see why.
Because it's their hugest franchise.
I mean, I guess they could. I mean, it'll sell.
Wait, so you mean
Pokemon.
Just a handhold that only works for Pokemon?
Well, it probably will have, like, Pokemon installed, like, right into the hardware.
I'd hope so.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Like, you're not going to go
like,
buy...
like, it doesn't have any any slots or anything, so you can't do anything
probably, like,
else.
Probably, like, memory card slots, maybe. I don't know. But, like, I can see them doing something like a...
it's going to be called the Pokédex.
Basically, yeah, just a huge Pokedex type of thing in your hand. No. It plays Pokemon and then has online wireless downloads, so they can just keep streaming and feeding you new Pokemon all the time. So.
See, I could see it being used if they integrated the other Pokemon. You know, they had the Dream Radar, they had the Pokedex app for the 3DS. There's the new Pokemon Art Academy that's coming out later this year. I can see if they did like a handheld and it incorporated all that stuff into one right off the bat. That'd be pretty cool.
If they stopped making games for the regular DS, it could be... I think that's the only way it could do anything.
But I don't think... And the reason why I don't think this would actually go, because this will cannibalize their sales on DS, 3DS, and stuff
like that. Has that ever stopped
like
Nintendo
that.
Before?
Yeah.
I don't think they really care.
They better care with the crap that they're like.
Well, they're already making a new DS where it's called the 3DS. It's a new 3DS, but they're already saying that a lot of stuff isn't going to work for the old ones on this. So they just did it right there. They want me to buy. I just bought my damn 3DS. They want me to buy another one.
What's not for you, Corey?
See, and I don't know.
I want the new things.
I'm wondering.
Well, you're going to go buy it.
I'm wondering if, because, you know, they saw that they're releasing the new Smash Brothers 3DS XLs that come out on Friday or whatnot. And those are super, super awesome looking. It's like a glossy finish.
The red one?
Both the red and the blue. I actually like the blue better than the red one.
Oh, okay.
Blue team. Come on, Corey. Blue team. Blood Gulch days.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been seeing a bunch of pictures around the web about Smash Brothers, people playing Smash Bros. And breaking their analog sticks.
I saw that too.
You saw that, right? I'm like, I'm a Nintendo Smasher. I'm worried about my Zelda one going out. It's like, is that why Nintendo's releasing these new
sturdy?
Well, maybe not even sturdy, but like just they know how many people already have
sticking out of this thing.
3DS sturdy
adamantium friggin' joysticks.
They already know how many people have 3DSs, and you know you've got these two Smash Brothers ones, and then they've got the Nintendo branded one that comes out next month, and then they also have a Persona bundle that comes out in November. Like they're releasing all these other ones. I'm just like, it's like, do they know that Smash Brothers is going to be killing 3DSs? They're like, here, buy another one.
They said they took out the Ice Climbers.
Ice Climbers are gone. Smash Brothers, because
the 3DS one couldn't handle them in the game.
So they removed them from the full dual version?
Character?
Couldn't handle, so they took it out.
So it's not going to be in the Wii U version either?
No.
Nope.
What I could see them possibly doing is doing a DLC and adding Ice Climbers to the Wii U exclusively later.
Does it feel like Nintendo's just learning DLC?
Yes.
Nintendo's just learning internet.
Yes. That's
they're still playing on the line games, and they got to play catch up. That's basically what they have to do.
I will say something they have improved with the Wii U, because originally when the Wii U first came out, in order to do add friends, you had to add somebody and then they had to add you back, just like the old original Wii with friends code and that garbage. They don't have that anymore. So now it's just like Xbox or PlayStation. I send a friend request, that person gets it. Do you want to accept? Yeah.
Welcome to 2014.
Yes, exactly. So Nintendo. They are improving faster than they have in the past.
Look, if they wanted to be so cautious about kids, befriending the wrong people, they should have just integrated some type of Megan's Law app into all their system, you know, that way registered sex offenders couldn't
buy it. They could buy it, but they couldn't play online.
This balding 40-year-old man picks Peach way too much.
So it's like
Flash,
and it's taken them like all of almost 10 years now to just even come up to that point where I can add somebody, like an Xbox Live type of situation. Like, that's terrible. Friend codes were the worst.
Destiny is making me really realize on the Xbox One how much farther to go their party system needs to be fixed. Mm.
I don't understand that either.
It's like, why you had they had the best online party chat system.
As of the 360, like it was as good as it was had been.
There was
it
no,
just needed better audio, I think.
Yeah, better sound quality. Yeah, that's it. The way to get into the party, drop in, drop out, everything was so good. Why flip it on its head and just come out with garbage?
And then even the fact, because like, you know, when somebody comes into the room, it kind of lags a little for just because your message comes up. You can even turn those off to where it was just kind of seamless and everything like that. Like, I don't understand why you wanted to try to reinvent the wheel.
Destiny just really, now that there's actually a game online worth playing with people, now it just stands out like a glaring issue with the freaking Xbox One. But I will say the ability to snap Skype there and chat with Aaron, who's playing, you know, Fallout on his PC with our full crew, was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's interesting, yeah, because the quality sounds, you know, perfect. And when I'm going to start streaming my Xbox One games on my PC, it's going to be awesome to be able to do that. So, yeah.
All right, here's my final pitch to everybody in this room. All right, I'm really... I said some nice things about Javier earlier, but through the course of the show, I've realized how dumb I am. Please, David, Jade already has one. Aaron, let's all, after the show, you guys go get some credit cards.
Wow.
Whoa.
You guys can buy your Xbox Ones and Destiny and play with me.
See, this is the thing. Remember I told you about the whole desert and Dixie Cup thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like on an oasis right now. So there's a game drought around me. but I'm
not affected.
I'm not really affected too
much. Your name
much.
Is Oliver Queen.
That's why
you're stuck on an island like, for 5 years.
It's weird because it's like I'm going back to old games that I'm, you know, enjoying a lot, the Fallout and so forth. But I don't know, none of the new stuff besides The Division I really want to play. But then I'm like, it's coming on a PC. Then I just downloaded, of course, I had the FIFA 15 demo, which I've been jonesing for FIFA for the longest, and it's on the PC. So it's kind of like, now that I have this PC, but see, and this is where my fears crept up, because when I played the demo on FIFA, when I go into the shadows of a stadium, it chugs a little. There's no options
in the demo.
That's why I'm like, is it going to be? Is there going to be no demo? Actual in-game options.
There'll be in-game options for sure.
I went on the forums and people were complaining there was none on 14.
For
FIFA 14. They were like, how do I turn off the stupid shadows? Because, and then somebody was like, you got to just go to your graphics card and fiddle around that. And I'm like, I don't want to do all that. I want to put a disc in and play my game. That's where
nobody uses discs anymore.
Disc? What?
That's where my console comes in. My Blu-ray, which will be the new, you know, format right now for the new systems, and play my games.
I don't think they'll ever need to use Blu-rays for PC games.
So I don't know. I don't know. I think FIFA 15 will be my first leap. And if it burns me, PC people, you will, Sir Aaron Carter's wrath will be
it'll just explode swift. On you. You need to spend another $800 on your graphics card.
Then there'll be another Twitter war, I guess, because that's not happening.
Who knows? You may get a nice generous soul out there. They may send you their graphics card.
Show me. Prove to me.
All right, hold on now. Okay, Aaron's a lost cause. Let's move on to David. David, best friends for how long now? I lost track. More than 10 years.
Definitely.
I've been with a dark period. I've been with David longer than I've been with my wife.
There's a dark period.
It's true. I didn't know you before you met her.
Where Mr. Portland came in and kind of almost made you forget about him.
Oh, whatever.
You sent him
Jerry
away.
Maguire came over here and showed him the money. And
For the record, nothing below the waist.
Wow.
David.
So all above the waist is better? What is that?
David, my longest standing friend, patriarch, comes from a wealthy family. Lives in a big house.
Of aristocrats?
Has a job where he's been working like a dog. I know you got the money. Let's go buy an Xbox after the show.
I mean, I do have some money, but I do spend the money I get from my job.
On what?
On food. I eat.
David eats a lot.
I do eat a lot of food.
For the thinnest guy. So that's a no?
I mean, that's not right now, no. I'm still enjoying my 360 games.
Like what games?
I was playing Ultimate Alliance.
Really?
Right? Yeah, Ultimate Alliance is amazing.
I don't understand why they haven't redone that whole
because
franchise.
They did try to do that with 2.
I just recently did the whole Mass Effect trilogy, and I still want to go through and play Mass Effect 3 again.
He's on the Oasis.
And then he needs to go back and play Borderlands again.
I'm on the Oasis too.
No, you're out in the middle of the desert with a Dixie cup.
No, Borderlands 1.5 is coming out next.
You got pre-sequel next month.
You're sipping the flavor.
Yeah, like 3 weeks now.
But it's Destiny is a very good game. I could see, and you know, I kind of understand why they didn't want people to review it so soon either. Because it feels like they have bigger plans for the game. Like, the raid was kind of the first step.
Well, they said it's supposed to last 10 years. It's supposed to be a 10-year project.
And with the early progress looking potential, I see it. I think reviewing it based off of just what you got from the first campaign. The campaign was pretty short. But with all the events going on, and it seems like there's always something to do. But
it's an MMO. There's
just nothing to do alone.
Yeah, that is.
And that sucks.
That is the whole MMO thing, though. It's like, the getting up to max level is its own game, but then the real game starts when you're at max level and you're trying to go on the raids and you're getting all the best gear out there and all of your party stuff and everything.
That's what I'm. What?
It's tough because I'm a little tired of these unfinished games coming out, and we just accept it.
Well, it's not that it's unfinished.
Isn't it? So then I can review it like it is.
It's designed to be a project that evolves over time, is what it is.
So if I came to you, Corey, with a sandwich that was just bread. The bread was, okay, now put it this way. The bread that we had in L.A., delicious, correct?
Oh, that was the best
so
bread.
So I just put it in her, like, this is a sandwich designed to evolve over time.
It doesn't work like
I'll
that.
I'll be back in 4 months with your slice of ham.
You cannot equivalent Destiny to
I'm just
a
saying,
ham sandwich.
That's how, I mean, with anything else in the world, if they gave you a little bit like, this is designed, you put it in anything. And they're like, here's your laptop with, you know, only half the keys. We'll be back with the W's and the arrows later, but it's designed to evolve over time.
That's just the joy of being an early adapter.
No.
Now I can be that dick who, like, in 10 years when the game is still popular, or, you know, and it's, I can say, I remember beta.
See, no, why? Oh, why? Yeah. That should never be uttered out of anybody's mouth.
It is the most commonly thing.
Which is crazy now.
I do it all the time with League.
If somebody was like, oh, man, I remember Mario before I had Goombas. What?
The good old days.
What? Before I can pick up shells and...
They always look at it as the good old days.
Like, that's dumb to me. When did we accept this? I remember people used to get upset about DLC that came out after the game was released that was already
as
on the
it
disc.
Was launched,
right?
Yeah.
That still sucks.
Or as,
that is...
Okay, so that's essentially what you're doing.
No, the difference here is that you're not having to pay additional fee for anything.
Okay, but I know, but still, without being charged, though, you're still not getting the game.
They do have an expansion pass.
And you're getting an expansion. You're done. Your argument is invalid, both of you.
There's an expansion
done.
Pass.
Done. How can you accept this? So, as a gaming connoisseur, which I believe I am, I do not accept these things anymore.
I'll let you play it for a few minutes after the show.
The big thing is from the time I spent at my manager's conference talking to the guys at Bungie that were there with Destiny or whatnot, is the expansion pass is they don't want it to be seen as like a Call of Duty map pack. It's not that. It's everything. It's more story. It's going to extend the story in the campaign. So you're actually going to get more depth in that. You're going to get more multiplayer arenas and maps like a Call of Duty for those people who want that experience. There's going to be more strike raids for that more in-game content.
How long is it till it comes out?
The first one is set for either end of November or early December.
Too soon. I played Fallout. I beat the whole game. Then it came out, the first DLC came out, I don't know, 5 months later? Maybe six? Mm-hmm. And then they start spitting them out every other one.
I think it was like closer to 3-4.
Like, they were coming out, because it made it seem like, okay, this is not on this disc. You guys didn't have this in mind. You played the game. You released it. Like, hey, I got an idea. Let me make this. Then we'll put it out to the world. Not as, we made all this. We couldn't finish this in time. So let me go ahead.
I don't think it's one of those.
Well, see, the thing is, though, like, you know, this is always my argument for DLC is the fact that companies have a development schedule. They have to get a game out by a certain time, otherwise they start losing money. If you haven't played Game Developer Tycoon, go download and play Game Developer Tycoon.
All right. Well, while everybody's downloading Game Developer
and playing
Tycoon,
that instead of Destiny,
go to Kickstarter, help out the Playas
score.
The Playas score. And for David, Aaron, Jada, and myself, have a great week.
Later.
Let me bang, man.
I do let you bang. Hey.
Let me bang again, man.
I let you bang.
I
let you bang.
Let me bang again.
Let me bang.
Let you bang.
Now go fuck yourselves.
Finally hit the leave chat
on there?
Button. Hello?
Yeah, I think you...
Oh, wait. Keaton left.
Oh,
okay. I can call him back here if you want.
No, it's fine. I just didn't mean to be a jerk and just like, hey, see you guys later, usually.
Well, thank you guys so much for having us. We've listened to a couple of the previous podcasts and we like it, so it's pretty cool being on it. So thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for the words. It's a little late in the day. We all had a pretty tough day, so we're all pretty more mellow than typical. But appreciate your time and getting it out there. So how's the Kickstarter experience really been? Like, you're halfway there. It seems like you got quite a ways to go. Are you guys on projection to make it? Because usually these things explode in the last like. Week.
Yeah, we're right in the, let's see, it's kind of a like a, I don't know, bittersweet thing. The website KickTrack with a Q for KickTrack, it's like it kind of will project it for you, and after 9 days they say it's pretty accurate, but then it's like it's also not accurate to look at those results because it's obviously how much you put into it. So yeah. It's kind of like the forbidden fruit to check out how your Kickstarter is doing it with the statistics, and then kind of just trying to work on it as hard as you can. Kickstarter is extremely difficult, and I urge anyone, you know, if you guys ever try Kickstarter, basically devote maybe a month or 2 months before just figuring it out.
Really?
You know, some people kind of jump into it. We prepare it as much as we can, and there's just so much that goes into it. So right now we're doing really good up until our halfway point. And that we're kind of hit the very center of what they call the lull, the midway point where backers trying to like drop off, and it's hard to get the news out and people kind of forget about it. So it's kind of slowed down, but we're still ahead of schedule by a day or two for our percentage wise.
Yeah.
So we're kind of, we're trying to get updates out and in, do new things and do as much as we can to promote it during this, like, the dark period of the Kickstarter. So
yeah, is this your first major Kickstarter project?
I've never run a Kickstarter before, so
wow.
It's I spent like months trying to figure it out, researching it. Everyone's got their own advice, of course, systems of working it out, and really when it comes down to it, you just gotta like devote as much time as possible to figuring out the math and the budgeting, and then once it starts, do as much time as possible just hammering out as much publicity as you can and get the word out. Because when it comes down to it, even if our projection shows we're going to make it or not make it, it really just depends on do people want to see it, and yeah. if we can get those people to know about it. So it's definitely stressful running through. You know, most people run 30-day Kickstarters. This is a 45-day one, so we've got a bigger lull period in the middle to deal with, but we're definitely feeling really good about it. We're really happy about the responses. You know, every day I get emails that are like, yeah, we're so happy this movie's being made, and we're like, oh, thank you for emailing us. So
yeah, I was gonna say, what's that feeling like to, because like we've never run a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo yet, and I don't know if we will, but I just imagine the feeling of someone agreeing with what you're doing so much that they're willing to throw money down. Got to be a really good feeling.
That's the thing. I can't even believe, like, it's something, you know. For me, I've never made a film this big before. You know, me and Keaton, this is our first time working on a project this big. I don't think we've either made anything. I think his longest film, it was like 8 minutes or something, you know, wow. Just a short film. And like, here we're going after like a multinational documentary here, just throwing ourselves at it full force. And it's crazy to see when I go on the Kickstarter and it's like, this person gave $85 and they picked the $20 reward. It's like, what? What are you doing? You're just throwing money at me. It's like, that's the best feeling, because when it comes down to it, this is something that we care about. We want it to happen. And to know that there's someone else out there that's like, we're right there with you, it just feels like it's just like a huge team out there and we're all just trying to make this film happen.
Wow. Well, good. Best of luck to you. you know, to be at a lull and be halfway there, that's pretty damn impressive. Usually.
For sure.
And usually when you look at a lot of the Kickstarters, because we get a lot of people with Kickstarters that want to be on the show and talk about it and stuff. And usually when you look at it, it's like, oh, yeah, they got one person to donate $100 and that has the same last name as them. So that's like their mom or something.
Right.
You know, so when we looked at the project and saw the production quality you had in the trailer and how close you were, it's like, oh, wow, this is actually filling a need in a niche that hasn't been, you know, served the right way, honestly. So
yeah, absolutely. We're really happy about it. It's pretty crazy. This year seems to be the year for video game music stuff happening. There's so many new albums, new composers being recognized, you know, multiple projects focusing on this game music phenomenon, and it's just really exciting to be a part of it. So
wow. What do you guys hope to you know, what do you hope this does for your guys' career? Do you want to keep making films, or do you guys...
Absolutely, yeah. That's me and Keaton's dream, is to be filmmakers. And we thought we'd start with something that we cared about and we knew that other people cared about, because we knew so many people in this community. And we're like, these are some amazing, talented musicians that aren't getting the recognition. You know, these game composers, you know, does anyone really know the game composer? I mean, they know the music. Do they know, you know, who's thinking about that? And it turns out there are a lot of people. They're just... You know, nobody knows that there's, unless you are a part of a community that listens to game music, you probably just know the music. So we're like, we got to show people this. And kind of relating it back to the career, like, this is kind of our first foray into making a film on our own. Film is definitely hard. So we wanted to do something that we cared about and we're passionate about as our, you know, our first big film. And we're really happy that other people felt the same way about it. So...
That's really cool. And I got to get Aaron motivated. My co-host here, Aaron, makes films as well.
Yeah?
Yeah, nothing as good as you guys.
Wow.
A lot of crappy.
I'm on the same page. About 7 minutes is the longest film that I've ever done.
Hey, man, it's, you know, it's pretty much just, you just got to You just got to do it. I mean, we were both like, all right, we'll make a short film. You know, we'll interview some of the bands at PAX because we're already going to PAX. And we'll just, you know, do that. And then, like, we start telling people about it. And then they're like, you got to come to California. You got to interview this guy in California. You got to talk to Jake Kaufman. It's like, you know, okay, fine. We'll do a little road trip. We'll go to California. And then we get down there and we're like, this is crazy. We got to fly to Maryland. We got to go to Japan. And so it just kind of explodes from there. Because, I mean, like, it is because it's a documentary. And there's a community that wants it. But the number one thing that we found is that if you're passionate about something, there's someone else that's passionate about it out there. So you just got to throw yourself at it. Because we've never made a feature film before. And we're trying it. So it's not that we have it's not that we're like amazing filmmakers. I mean, I like to think that we're pretty good. But we really owe this to all the people who are out there supporting us. So, you know, if you're going to make a film, let us know and we'll support you too.
Awesome.
We'll do one on Video Game Podcasters.
There you go.
We'll just interview each other for
40 minutes.
Have everybody interview themselves and you can save on the flights. That's our biggest expense right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks like you're trying to get to Japan and all
know,
that.
I know,
yeah. Yeah, it's expensive.
Oh, yep. Yeah, like I said, and by the way, if you know, in the next film or if something falls through with your current narrator, Aaron Carter has been begging to lend his sultry vocals to
a Morgan Freeman type of thing for you if you want.
Awesome. Hey, you know, you never know. I mean, this is a kind of a crazy thing, so you know, maybe we'll get in contact with you. It's always good to know that's the number one thing right now is just networking with people because, you know, everybody out there wants to make something cool. So if we can work together, we'll definitely do so.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. If you do like a small segment where you go to like the ghetto to talk to see inner city children, you know, playing 8-bit games, Aaron can.
Well, the Game Boys were scattered across the sea.
Yeah. The concrete jungle.
The concrete jungle is what they called it. Mega Man. He didn't live here.
Terrible.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for having us on, and thanks for helping us get the word out.
No problem. We'll do everything we can, and then just likewise, if when it comes out, just share it with everybody you can, and we'll see what we can make out of it.
And we'll be looking forward to our advanced copies.
Oh, yeah, that for sure.
Hey, there you go.
We'll review it. We can do a nerd
No, wait, I can't do that. I have to like trick you guys. You got to give to the Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah. All right,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, guys. Yep. Nice to meet you all. I'll talk to you guys again in the future.
For sure.
Thank you. Bye.
Later. I've learned